All right. Well, we'll give some people some time. I'm early, so I'm just going to be shuffling through things and doing different things here. And I know nobody's on here yet, but they will be soon, I'm sure. So let me get my microphone set up a little bit closer to make sure everybody can hear me okay and all that good stuff. Victor Makris is on. All right, good. All right, good afternoon to Cindy. And my wife is on. Amen. Good stuff. All right. Hello from Virginia. Well, hello to you too. Hope you're doing well. Don't forget to thumbs up the video. Let's get that started right away while we're waiting. 16 people jumped on so far, sent the email out, notification. And Kristen's on there, Becca's on there, and my mom's on there. Yeah, that's good. It's always good when your mother watches. Always good when mom's watching. Right? And what a if my dad figures that Aaron's on, my brother-in-law's on. All right, getting the whole family on here. My Christian family and my own family as well. All right. I hope I'm coming in. That's right, with my sister-in-law and my niece. All right. A family reunion right here. Don't forget to thumbs up the video. Like it, share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you can. This is going to be an interesting broadcast, actually. I'm not even getting started yet. I'm going to give people time to get on. That's why I like to come on a little bit early, to give you some time to get on. But boy, do I have a lot to bring you that will not be finished in one program, not two programs. I bet you it could go for a few weeks. Depends on how extensive we want to go down this trail. I kind of want to go down this trail because number one, it's fun and it proves the Bible right. Look at that. Is that shaking the camera? I wonder if I should back that off just a little bit. All right, there we go. Maybe just a little bit. I'm shaking the camera here. Oh boy. We got 24 on. Hope I don't shake that. I should move that off. Hang on, I'm gonna move that off here, I think. Just a little bit. I guess it's not shaking it. It's not that camera. Okay. It's not touching it. I was just making sure I wasn't doing that. Making sure I wasn't How's the weather there in Northfield? We got a flash flood warning. I think the weather's okay here. I went for a 3.5 mile walk almost this afternoon, did some praying and come back and it went home for some lunch. Okay, good. It's not shaking. It's all in my brain. Okay, good. Good. Well, it's been stormy looking here for a while. Tracy, how are you? Good day, Pastor. I hope your getaway with your wife was wonderful. I'll tell you about it a little bit. Just watching some of your old sermons on Alcoholics Anonymous. We do. Boy, you're going back into the archives. If you go way back, there's some secret archives that most people can't find. Those aren't on sermon audio. They go way back into the beginning of the ministry 12 years ago. Those are the secret teachings. Not really. I always know somebody. Somebody's been listening to some old stuff though, because when they bring it up and stuff, it's like stuff that I haven't talked about in a while, stuff like that. But anyway, we had a great time. I'll tell you about it here while we're waiting to get some more folks on here. We actually had a great time. Hannah and I did. We took off with Prudence, our youngest daughter, because she's still attached to mama through nursing and all that good stuff. So we took her with us and we hit the road in the Jeep. And I've got an XJ Jeep. I love that Jeep. It's a Jeep Cherokee 2001. It was the last year they made it. Boy, is that a fun vehicle to drive. Anyway, so we took off and headed up north and looked around up there to the Iron Range. And, you know, the reason I'm doing this broadcast on the Giants is because it piqued my interest when I was up there. When I was up in the Iron Range, they start talking about mounds and Indians and Giants and all that stuff. And I just started being like, oh my goodness, I want to talk about this. And I started doing some research again and going back and looking at my other stuff. And then stuff that I've forgotten that I taught years ago, but also other stuff that I didn't really understand back then that I understand better now years later. So I would say I'm reteaching it, but I'm actually not in some ways, because in some ways I'm adding a bunch of things to it, and I'm going to do it right here on OPBC Live. That's where I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for some time because I want to talk about today. Anyway, so let me go back to the trip first before I get going too far on that. We had a great time though. We spent a day. We actually went the last day we were out on Saturday, our anniversary day. We went a half a mile down into the earth. And we actually toured a mine, an iron mine. That's why it's called the Iron Range. And we toured an iron mine down there. And it was fascinating. It was the deepest part of the earth you could get to around here anyway, and I don't know if there's any others, but it was a half mile into the earth, 27 floors down into the earth. I felt like, anyway, I won't tell you what I felt like, but it was interesting. Yeah, journey to some part of the earth, right? Yeah, that's what it was really interesting. And you take this elevator down. And you're going down, 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 and it's ricketing and everything else. Yeah, Jules Verne. I read that book to my children. Yeah, that's what it felt like. I think I read that one to them. Journey to the Center of the Earth. I think I read that one to them. Well, it should be good. T. Good Dukes. You should enjoy this broadcast here. We'll get started. We still got 6 minutes. So I kind of am rambling on a little bit and telling you about my trip. But anyway, we had a great time. We got to tour that mine. And boy, what an interesting bit of history. What an interesting bit of history. So it was unbelievable. So if you're ever in the Iron Range of Minnesota, go to the Sudan Mine. And take the tour and go down in the rickety elevator, which, by the way, can hold 6 tons of iron ore. Amazing, isn't it? Wow. Anyway, so you'll go down that elevator, and then you take this train down there, these cars, and you take it all the way down deep into the... And you tour that area and walk around it. Very interesting. Very interesting. It wasn't like being in the land of the lost, though, so that's okay. Hello from Trinidad and Tobago. Hello. Sorry, it's lagging. I don't know what to do about it. I don't think I can do anything here. I think my signal's coming in good. Can everybody hear okay? I hope you can. Anyway, we had a good time, though. We enjoyed some good food out there, and we were blessed to spend time together, and little Prudence enjoyed herself as she got spoiled with mommy and daddy, and the other children were spoiled with grandma and grandpa, and they enjoyed themselves. They had a blast themselves. So hopefully nobody else is lagging along here. Hopefully it's working okay. There's 42 people on. 21 have given it the thumbs up. And we would like to see that number get to 44. So try to do that. Somebody asked me, did you watch Toy Story 4? No, we don't watch movies. You can go see... Wow, serious lag, huh? Cindy, is it lagging on your end too, or is it okay? Okay, Andrea, it's fine. Good to see you, Andrea. Hope you're doing well. Seems fine. A little choppy. No lag there. No lag in Georgia. Justin Turner in Georgia. No lag for Carly. Okay, good. No, we don't watch movies. You can go see Hollywood Satanic Roots on here. The Reloaded. Watch that. You'll find out why I don't. Or Disney. The Magic Kingdom or the Kingdom of God. Joey, hope you're doing well. No lag in Dallas. And if there's no lag in Texas, then there can't be any lag. Yeah, I don't watch the videos, the movies from Hollywood. They're wicked and satanic. So I stay away from it. If you watch Disney, you'll figure out why. Watch the Disney Magic Kingdom or the Kingdom of God, Hollywood. Do you and your kids go to Disney World? No, I would never go to Disney World. They're a bunch of perverts. I stay away from Disney World. I have no desire to go there. Looking forward to... Hey, Joey, how'd you know I was preaching for Pastor Mike in a couple weeks? How'd you know that? Who told you? I haven't told anybody. It was a secret. Who told you? He must have announced it somewhere. Disney has always been pushing things. Disney. Oh, he mentioned it during a service yesterday. What'd he say? This coffee is good. This is Nitro Press. And it's very good. Very good coffee. Very good. The cat is out of the bag. See you at Bethel. Hey, I look forward to being there. I love those folks there. And obviously love Pastor Mike and his family. And Pastor Mike won't be there. But he knew I was coming in town. I was going to stay in his prophet's chamber for a day. I'm heading out on a Baptist history tour through Missouri and Iowa and a few spots like that with Brother Ted Alexander and his family. And not his family, but the other preachers that are there. So I am indeed coming through on a history tour. So I'm going to stop off there and spend Sunday with the good folks at Bethel there and stay there and probably eat Emo's weird pizza. And my son will be there with me. It's a men's tour. So it's fine. It's not bad pizza. It's good. It's different. It's like Cheese Whiz on pizza. It's great. Brandon, the history tour is great. I recommend those history tours that Brother Alexander puts on. I've been on many of them. I'm going to love history. I'm a big history buff. I love it. I read it, as you can see behind me in my library. Biblical history, obviously the Bible, the Word of God, books that are talking about the Word of God, obviously, but also historical things. And I do a lot of that. So Chinese buffet cooks a good dragon. Probably do. Let's see. Yep, they're going to Alaska. And I'm going to Missouri. So we'll see him. We'll see those folks there and look forward to that. And all that good stuff. I don't eat very many Chinese buffets, really. I mean, I will sometimes, but I'm not big on that. Anyway, okay, so Brother Jacob is on. It's 2:01. It's time to get started here. boy, do I have a lot to bring you today. You know, I really like this subject, and it's very taboo for a lot of people. It's very taboo for a lot of people, even Bible believers. Here's what they do, okay? The sons of God and the daughters of men that we find in Genesis chapter 6, all right? They don't like that teaching that those were fallen angels. So they hate that teaching, but they never can explain, well, where'd the giants come from? Who are the giants and where did they come from? I mean, they never talk about them. They always act like they're not there in the Bible. They accuse us of the book of Enoch, and they accuse us of all these other things. And I mean, they go on and 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 on. And they never deal with the substance of it because they can't, because they're afraid to, because their little spook meter goes off and they can't handle it. So there's some pastors out there that don't like Pastor Mike and myself. They don't like us. They made some videos that are really laughable, and really, I haven't watched them, but I have a Bible and I understand plain English. And I also understand studying a subject out all the way through. And when I study it out all the way through, I don't get a godly line of Seth and an ungodly line of Cain that got together and had babies and they were giants. I don't get that from that teaching at all. I think that's stupid. I'm going to say that again. I think that's stupid. Okay, because I've met a lot of lost people that married some saved people, and they had some monsters because of it, but they sure weren't 13 feet tall or 14 feet tall, all right? They weren't. Now, I don't care if you believe me. You don't have to believe me, but we're not going to get into the sons of God today. We're not really going to go down that, because I'm talking about giants here, and I really want to deal with the offspring. I want to deal with what's been found. I'm going to show you eyewitness accounts. Well, I'm going to tell you about them. I can't show you. I'm going to show you eyewitness accounts, right, of grave sites that were found. I'm going to show you eyewitness accounts, and I'm not afraid to believe the Bible. Look, I'm not afraid to believe in spooky stuff that's out there. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid of talking about UFOs. I ain't afraid of that. I don't like them, and I don't want any of them near me. But I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid to talk about those things. I'm not afraid to talk about hybrids and really creepy creatures and things like that that are out there. I'm not afraid to talk about that. I'm not going to run from those things. You know, Pastor Hoggard is my friend, and I'm not, he believes some things about those things that I do, and we both do, and I believed that a long time ago, too, before I ever met him. But I'm not, when he came out with UFOs, I was like, and he said he was coming here, and he was like, you know, I really feel led to preach on UFOs, and I'm like, well, go ahead. I don't care. Praise the Lord. If you feel led to preach about that, then go ahead. I'm not going to run from it. I'm not afraid of it. And I don't care what the brethren think of me, because I believe something that's found in the Word of God. But I want to narrow it down to Genesis chapter 6 here. Then we're going to get in to a whole lot of stuff. Okay? Oh, yeah, I did do Giants and Nephilim. That was wrong. Why did I do that title? I put that title in there, and I didn't even think about the fact that those are the fallen ones. Those are the fallen angels, and not the sons of God. Yeah, that was a that was kind of that was kind of a mistake. I don't know why I did that. But anyway, you put the two together and they're there. But no, they're not the same. The sons of God are the fallen angels, right? Thank you. Anyway, the sons of God are the fallen angels. And yeah. So, and they are the Nephilim. And the others are the giants, which are called the Gibor. Some people call them that in different languages and things like that, but that's okay. You know the reference there. It's there, but no, they're not the same. The Nephilim are the sons of God, come into the daughters of men. They bear them children, mighty men of old, men of renown. Let's go read the Bible. Genesis chapter 6. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Yeah, I know what the word means. I just used it next to it, but whatever. It's fine. You'll get it. I used it next to it. That's funny. Anyway, totally hilarious. All right. But that's what happens when your brain's working 1,000 miles an hour faster than what it should. What do you think of Robin Boy Wonder? I don't know. Ask me at the end and I'll tell you. I think he's gay. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Men of renown. Yeah, it's okay, Brother Joey. It doesn't matter. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. But it's okay to put that in there, because actually what will end up happening is people will hit that video because that's in there. I'll change it later, but they'll come on this live stream because they see that word in there. So that's fine. It would have been fine if it wasn't in parentheses, and I would have put a little comma in there, but that's okay. We won't worry about that today. You just know that Pastor Cooley is fully aware that he is not perfect and has many flaws, and you are fully aware of my many flaws. I'm not fake. I'm right in front of your face. I'm a flawed man in many ways, but thank God he still uses flawed men. That's funny. Anyway, but these giants, they were there. And it's interesting because they are the offspring of the sons of God and daughters of men. They are the offspring of those men and beings, those the sign for that is kind of like this. It's the Masonic sign that they use for that. Oh, take a picture. He's a Mason. But that's the sign. All right. I am Coolio, the white version. If I was a rapper, which I wouldn't be, maybe if I was a white rapper, I'd be P. Coolio or PC. Okay, I'm just having fun with you. All right. Anyway, I'm going to get into some accounts of this, but I want to tell you that most people, that's right, that is the as is above, so is below sign. It's also the Masonic sign. You know, yeah, most people don't want to talk about what's revealed in the scriptures. Since probably 2000. Now, I studied it way longer when I first got saved, right? But I continued to kind of go back at it and study it. And I did I did one on the sons of God, but I don't think I did another one on the giants. I didn't. So shall I outline for you exactly what we're going to do? Look at my handy dandy notebook right here. Actually, somebody sent this free to me. Uline did. And I'm just using it. Anyway, I want to give you some ideas of some of the broadcasts that I want to do about this though. And then I'm going to get into eyewitness accounts of giants. But first, we're going to look at the Word of God, and then we're going to move on. I want to read to you eyewitness accounts of graves that were found. And I have to ask you this question before I get started. Number one, all of you are on here, 74 people. How many of you can give me a thumbs up only if you believe the Bible is 100% accurate and correct? Can you thumbs up the side here? Give me a thumbs up here in the comment section here on the live thread. If you believe the Bible is 100% perfect and it is right, there's one by Andrea. There's one by Brandon. I hope you can get to it. Thumbs up there by Mike. All right. Carl gives the thumbs up. Hopefully the 48 people that thumbs up the video can do that. Okay. We are going to remove B. Sultan because he's some kind of a weird pervert. Anyway, if you're fascinated with Robin, you should like get saved because you're perverted. Anyway, good. All right. Thumbs up, thumbs up. Believes the Bible's the word of God. It is absolute truth. The authority of Scripture, the absolute truth of the word of God. And the reason I want to start with the Bible here is because it's our authority. This book that I'm going to show you on giants, this book on giants right here is not the authority. It's not, and I don't claim it to be the authority. I don't claim the book of Enoch to be any authority. I don't claim any of these things to be authority. But I do say that if they agree with the scriptures, why not show you that they agree with the scriptures? Why shouldn't I bring them to you and say, listen, here's some extra biblical evidence of people that say the same thing the word of God says? Why would I not do that? I should do that. Right? Right? So the Bible is totally true. So when the Bible says, all right, 51 likes on the video, the Bible doesn't say that. 77 people on. That's okay, Brian and Debbie, that's okay. So when the Bible says that there are giants, that there were giants in the earth, and also after that, when it says that, do we believe God's word? Or are we afraid? Are we slow to believe? Are we stiff-necked and rebellious? And are we slow to believe all? Jesus called them fools. Can I show you something? He was talking to Christians too. I'm going to show you something here. Well, I can't show it to you, but I'll read it to you. Let's see. Here it is. Luke 24:25. They're on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is talking to them. And he says this to them. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Are we fools and slow of heart to believe? Are we fools and slow of heart to believe? Or will we believe God's word regardless of what other evidence tries to say to us? But will we believe God's holy word? Will we say, you know what? I believe God's book. Well, Genesis 6 says there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that. It says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, that they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, we're not going to stay on those guys, but the Bible talks about giants, okay? Bible talks about giants. So, a simple word study. The word giant is 8 times in the Bible. The word giants is 13 times in the Bible. 13 plus 8 is 21. I'll let you do the math. There were giants in the earth in those days. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 33 says, and there was the giant. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So when the Israelites saw the giants, When the Israelites saw the giants, they said, whoa, we are like grasshoppers. We are small. They are humongous. Well, you know the comparison of a grasshopper to a man. The difference. Right? And don't ask me why somebody wants to spam this video. I haven't even attacked any homosexuals. Homosexual lifestyle, that is. I haven't talked about any vileness or talked about the LGBTQ community and how they worship the same devil that the Giants did. Anyway. Anything of that nature, but they want to attack this video, whoever they are, saying weird things, but whatever. Anyway, we won't care about that. Amen. All truth, all the time. The word of God. So the Bible talks about those giants, and they were big. They didn't budge on, they weren't exaggerating. They were saying, look, these guys are huge. And they looked at us like we were grasshoppers. They said, they saw us as grasshoppers. They were so big. Yeah, we're going to talk about six fingers and six toes. Hang on. Save your comments. I'm going to get into it, okay? I promise you. I've got some eyewitness accounts and some really good things to give you here. And I'm not done here with this. Listen, I'm going to talk about giant findings today. That's what I'm going to talk about. Then in the next broadcast, we're going to talk about American Indians and the giants. One of the broadcasts, we're going to talk about the Smithsonian cover-up and the giants. And number four, we might talk about the giants' religion. And that may not be the end of it, because I don't know how long it'll take me to get through all these when I start reading you. I've heard about the red hair, Brian and Debbie. We're going to talk about it all. We are going to talk about it all. I never trusted redheads. Just kidding. Just kidding. That's a joke, sort of. Just kidding. All right, sort of. Let's see. Jacob has red hair and not, but he's not a giant. He'd be like a midget, sort of. Anyway, let's see here. So we got a lot to cover. And if I ramble on and laugh and tell jokes, it's fun. I think Steve Quell's nuts, Brian. In fact, I have two of Steve Quell's books. I've got this one. And I've got another one. Oh, it's underneath this. I'm using it as a prop. And I'm sorry. I don't follow it. He sounds like goofy. He sounds weird. Because his stuff is like all gap theory, all pre-humanoid, pre-Adamic race, all this weird stuff out of left field everywhere. And it's like a waste. Most of his stuff is a waste of time. I'm telling you, I've had these books for years, okay? I haven't looked through all of them. This one I did look through all, pretty much all of it. And a lot of it that he tries to claim are giants. They're not even giants, really. They're big people. Anyway, so I don't like Steve Quayle's stuff. I think he's a spook. But anyway. But I'm going to give you some more accurate things I believe today that I believe are down-to-earth accurate. So anyway, let's go back to the Word of God, shall we? The giants. Deuteronomy 2:11 talks about the giants. Says there's some other groups of giants. The Emims dwelt where therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims. But the Moabites called them Emims. The Horims also dwelt in Zaire before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did in the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. And skipping down to verse 20, he says that also was accounted the land of giants. Giants dwelt there in an old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumims. How'd you like to be called that? I am a Zamzumim. Don't say that fast. Zamzumims. A people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. So, one thing you'll notice about the giants is it was God's power and hand that destroyed them most of the time. They went and filled up the land of Israel, or the land of Canaan. They filled it up, and God destroyed them. Think about that one. Okay, so I think it's safe to say, as we look through the scriptures, we talk about the kingdom. There was a king that was a giant, right? And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants, and dwelt at Ashtaroth and Edrea. All the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrea, who remained of the remnant of the giants, right? And then there's the Valley of Hinnom. Before the Valley of Hinnom westward, which at the end of the Valley of the Giants northward. The Valley of the Son of Hinnom. That was like the mouth. That was like the mouth of hell. It was a valley of hell. They took their children, they burned them and cast them in the fire. And those giants were hanging out there. There's a valley of giants there. Right? Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that here. And, you know, so the Bible talks about how they went through the land of Israel, or the land of Canaan, when they entered into it, and there were giants planted everywhere. There were tribes of giants. So now do you understand why God wiped them out? Why God made them wipe them out, utterly destroy them. They were hybrids. They were all hybrids. Right? Dinosaurs are not fake. Dinosaurs are real. If you don't believe in dinosaurs, it's because you don't believe the Bible. You don't understand what a dragon is. Before the word dinosaur was there, there was the word dragon, and it was used for many, 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 many years. Dragons are real, and so are dinosaurs, and they found them everywhere. Anyway, so, yeah, exactly, Leviathan, the fiery serpent, right? Anyway, so there's so many things you can get off of on this that you can go into trails everywhere with this. And, but, you know, it's important that we focus on what the Bible says about things and then look and see if in history we find the same thing. Do we see, have there been sightings, kind of like UFOs, right? Have there been sightings? Have people found giants? It's a good question. Have people found giants? Are there records of people that have found giants? Yes. Yes, there are. There are many records of people that have found a lot of giants everywhere. And they've written about them, and people don't want to talk about that. Now, let's backtrack, okay? Try to stay with me here on the thread. I'm not reading much of your comments, but I can see them flip up. But try to stay with me and try to stay focused, okay? Because here's what I want to say to you. All right? Here's what I want to say to you. The reports that I'm going to show you are accurate reports. I believe most of them. Some of them could maybe not be. But let's think about... Peter, we're right. I'm just getting into the meat of it. I haven't even started yet, really. I'm just getting into it here. You know, I'm just getting ready here. Here's the thing. All right, here's what I want to say to you. you can't think of these reports like you do today. In today's world, we have the internet, and I can link my eyewitness report. I can put it online. I can do a YouTube video in 5 seconds. I can have a YouTube video anywhere in the world, and everybody can watch it. Okay, but these people that I'm going to show you, these people that I'm going to talk to you about, that is, these people, they didn't do that. They were in newspapers. They wrote about it in newspapers. They sent articles. They wrote, whoops, I kicked the camera. They wrote articles. They had journals. They had all those things. And a guy over in Montana didn't have the guy over in Illinois' journal. The guy over in California didn't have what the guy in Arizona had in his local newspaper. He didn't get the local Glen Rose or Texas newspaper in Texas. He didn't get that. Do you understand? He didn't have that newspaper, so he didn't know what that guy was saying over there. Okay? He didn't know. So when you see these reports that I'm going to give you now, understand it from the concept of old-fashioned newspapers printed in small towns in Americana, all over America. And some of these people would never see the newspaper from 1,000 miles away ever in their entire life. They don't know what that guy said about giants. They don't know about anybody finding anything. They don't describe it the same way. Or they describe it the same way, but they don't know anybody. They don't know that guy. They didn't look at that guy's stuff. They didn't get his newspaper. They had no idea what that guy. They didn't get the local newspaper down the road that Chuck was driving down the road, and he went in his cave, and he went to go take a leak somewhere, walked into this cave, and he was digging around in there, and he found something, and he didn't know what he found, or he's digging a basement, and he digs it up, and he finds something in there that he never found before, or walks into some cave that was in an abandoned place down by the... They didn't know any of that. They didn't put two and two together from some guy all the way down there. They found something. They were like, whoa, what in the world is that? So that's first. Second, what I want to say to you. Secondly, what I want to say to you is this. That there was a vested interest to hide this information. Okay? There was a vested interest to hide this. For two reasons. The first reason is, it destroys evolution, because the giants completely demolish Darwin's theory of evolution, of origin of species. Absolutely 100% destroys it. And they can't let the cat out of the bag. So they hide it. The Smithsonian hides it. I won't get into how they hide it, what they did, and all that stuff today. We'll save that for another day. But I want you to understand that that's what they did. They hid it. They hid it in order so people wouldn't be investigating, looking into it. It's just like all the UFO sightings. All these people around the world see the same things. They've never talked about it before. I'm 30 years ago before the internet. You still didn't get a newspaper from Los Angeles. Me living in Geneseo, Illinois, where I'm from, I didn't get a newspaper from Los Angeles 30 years ago. I didn't get that stuff. You didn't get that. Okay? So you got to understand the world that they lived in. Try not to think of it in modern day times like now, because then you're going to get all messed up. You're going to be like, what in the world? You know? By the way, at the top of the hour, what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch gears just for about 5 minutes. I want to talk about a local pastor sellout in Minneapolis. I'm going to use that because I kind of tag those taglines into my sermon audio sermons that I post on there. I post this broadcast with that, and I'll kind of tag that into there. But it's good for you to understand. It's part of apostasy watch. So I'll put that in there anyway to keep you kind of there. But anyway, so long as you understand those things, before we get started, with really digging in deep with this, and I start to read you some things. Now, let me introduce you, and I may have this man on for an interview. I've talked to him before. I've been to his museum in Mount Blanco, Texas. Mount Blanco, Texas. I've been there before. And who's calling me another sellout pastor? What is that supposed to mean? What would I have sold out to? I don't know if you're talking about me or not, but I'd like to know what I sold out to. That's for sure. Anyway, so oh, I know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. You're talking about the guy. Yeah, sorry. That's what happens when I read the comment thread. Sorry about that. Anyway, but this man, Joe Taylor, I plan on one day interviewing him on OPBC Live. And I've been to his, I'm sorry, Blaine, I didn't mean to mess that up. OPBC Live, I plan on interviewing him. I've been to his museum before. And he's a good guy. We wouldn't agree 100% on everything, but that's like any two people that are saved. The only thing we agree on is Jesus Christ and the Word of God and things of that nature, but a lot of the other things we don't. You know, some other things, minor things or whatever, we wouldn't. But we'd agree a lot, you know. Yeah, amen. So I look forward to it. Now, are you ready for some eyewitness accounts of giants and their graves? All right, let's get into it here. I don't have to go through a lot of the issues with, I'm giving you the kooky stuff right now, Carl. The weird stuff that's going to make nobody like you like me. You'll be like me, nobody will like you. Let me see here. Let me get started here. I've already covered a lot of those things. By the way, if you need a background of the giants biblically, like an in-depth background, go watch my sermon series or listen to my sermon series on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. All right? And you can find them there, okay? And you can get a real good background of giants and from the Bible and a teaching on those things, okay? I want you to. Okay, so let's start in America, in the Alaska Aleutian Islands, the giants that were found there. On the Alaska Aleutian Island of Shemya, during World War II, a bulldozer cut through layers of sedimentary rock to put in an airstrip, and in doing so, uncovered a graveyard of giant men. Their skulls measure from 22 to 24 inches from top to bottom. This is about three times the size of a normal human, making them about 18 to 20 feet tall. The skulls were said to have been trepanned. That is, holes had been cut out of their skulls. This is seen in Peru, with most of them surviving as evidenced by the regrowth of bone in the ocean. More than or famous have been found in the Aleutian Islands. And such. Okay, so these were 18 to 20 foot tall men. You say, they found them there? That's what they said. And I don't know why they lie, because these aren't independent fundamental Baptist pastors or fundamental Christians trying to prove the Bible true. They're not trying to prove the Bible true. They're just saying, man, we were digging up this thing for this runway to put in. All of a sudden, bam, there they are. Right? I mean, I don't know why they'd lie. I mean, people lie, yeah, but I mean, usually they don't lie to make the Bible true. let's see. How about Arizona, the Grand Canyon Cave? boy, I don't know if I have time to get to this, but this Samuel Hubbard, wow. I found a report that he did back in the 1890s to 1923 or something like that. The report on what this man found, unbelievable. I'm going to tell you what he found, but amazing stuff. Absolutely amazing stuff. Arizona Grand Canyon Cave. In 1895, a man named Samuel Hubbard went to a Grand Canyon cave to see a petrified man found by Mr. Hull and Mr. Lavelle some years before, who said they found a giant man's body with flesh turned to stone, lying face down, nude, at about 18 to 20 feet tall. Now, these giants were definitely big pervs from history. I mean, that's the kind of... Remember, these are rebels. So these rebels are against anything that God is for. They're rebellious. So homosexuality, bestiality, all kinds of wickedness, these guys would be for. Taking drugs, hallucination, these things, these beings would be for. Because they hate God. They hate God. The site was located, but a landslide had covered it. Now listen to this. So a landslide had covered it. So he went back there. He went back there, all right, to look at it. He went back to look at the site like a year and a half later, and a landslide had covered it. Can you believe it? A landslide. Okay. So he was pretty upset about that, obviously. The site was located, but a landslide had covered it. Their Indian guide then told them of another giant, an Indian dead long time ago. With difficulty, they climbed a cliff and saw what appeared to be the nude body of a woman, face down, about 13 feet tall. Again, nude. Hubbard went on to claim that he found over 50 complete skeletons of giants ranging from 10 feet to 14 feet tall in a cave in Grand Canyon in Arizona. Now, let's stop there for a second because that makes a lot of sense. Because what happened with the Grand Canyon, the flooding, the worldwide flood, the way everything went down, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It makes a lot of sense. He says, because this is a cave in the Grand Canyon, I'm inclined to think it was a post-flood burial. Petrification of limestone can occur quickly. The leg of a man who died in the 1950s was found turned to limestone in 50 years. Therefore, a giant man might have been petrified in a few hundred years or less. Right? Yes, it was. The Ice Age was post-flood. That's right. Because Job writes about the Ice Age. Job writes about the hoary frost, the snow, and everything that he saw. Right? Job writes about that. You ready for more? Samuel Hubbard's an interesting man. I could spend a whole day talking about him, a whole broadcast talking about that man. Samuel Hubbard, who found over 50 giant men, 10 to 14 feet tall, and even two larger in sandstone, further claimed to have found a sandstone layer in the Grand Canyon of Arizona with numerous human tracks in it, including were found in the same layer, including those of mammoth and tiny horse. The tracks were said to have been in a layer that was covered by another layer of sandstone. But because there are mammoth and tiny horse prints, there it makes me tend to think they are post-flood. But it could be either. Right? Could be either, he said. Interesting what they find. The tracks, the size of the feet, all those things. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying that God's word is true. God's word is true. God's word is faithful. You can trust God's word, and you can believe it. And you can believe it without all this stuff that I'm reading you, but this just confirms what God's word, our authority, already says. The Denver Tribune of Denver, Colorado, reported on October 17, 1881, that a man named Jacob Daniels, who lived along Running Creek, Colorado, some 45 miles north of Denver, Colorado, about where the modern-day town of Longmont is located, when digging in the area, found the remains of a petrified man 13 feet long. Unfortunately, like all the hundreds of other giant men found while digging by hand in the 1800s, their ability to preserve them or store them was inadequate. They were obtained by curiosity seekers and eventually destroyed or ended up in major museum basements and forgotten. Right? How about the Kossuth, Iowa giant mummies? Andrea, this one's for Iowa right here. This one's for you in Iowa. The story about giant mummified men who were 10 feet tall is really strange. The only photograph that I am aware of purporting to be one of the giant Kossuth mummies is also said by some to be that of a midget. Of course, the story about it being a midget may not be true. So being forewarned, take the story with that in mind. In October, sometime in the 1900s, Marvin Rainwater, an eastern Iowa farmer just outside Kossuth Center, while digging a well, struck hard stone down at 9 feet. The stone was not local to eastern Iowa. Friends helped him excavate a massive stone floor or ceiling, 188 feet square, made up of irregular cut stone, all about 8 feet by 10, but fitted so closely that a knife could not be inserted between them. It sounds like the stonework by the Incas in Peru. George Van Podbrad College was contacted. A team of archaeologists, anthropologists, and geologists were sent. The stone was determined to be basalt, similar to some Egyptian monuments. So there's a little key to their religion. There's a little key to their religion. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. They appear to have been laid down before the so-called last glacial age when mammoths roamed Iowa. The structure was a pyramid similar to one found in Marietta, Ohio, but which was made of mud brick. A massive archway was found on the east side resembling the Greek style. Beneath this was a smaller arch measuring 6 feet to the capstone. Both had been filled in. Albert Grosslochner was the first to see the seven giant mummies seated in a circle. Seven giant mummies seated in a circle. They had two rows of front teeth in their upper and lower jaws. Now, one of the testimonies that people have in finding these giants everywhere on the earth, no matter where they are, one of the major things that they find or that they say is they have two rows of teeth on each row, as two rows of teeth. They have double rows of teeth. Their foreheads were unusually low and sloped with more prominent brows. Their skin, though wrinkled, was tough as if tanned, and their hair was said to be a definite red color. The bodies were x-rayed, showing skeletal structure. There was a speculation of a connection to the red-haired giants called the Saitecas from the Paiute Indians, so hated and driven from Nevada. If the story is true, the fact that they were buried so deeply and in a structure of huge non-native stone suggests a pre-flood burial, while the Paiute connection is definitely after the flood. The picture of the face of an East Indian sculpture used on the book jacket bears a fair resemblance to the face of the Kossuth mummy. The sloping head would indicate a great age at death. Human skulls tend to flatten out as we age, and our brows continue to grow, as do our noses and ears. In some Semitic people, the lower lip also grows. Whatever this is, it appears to have small ears. That's odd. The farmer is said to have sold the site, and evidently it is closed to the public. Also, Iowa is a humid place. It's hard to imagine how a mummy could last for 1,000 years, much less a year-long flood. Interesting. Right? Ready for an Iowa giant? Another one? Another one for Andrea and her family, an Iowa giant. In one of the many conversations that had been my privilege to hear, someone related to me that a human skeleton 12 feet long had been discovered in a casket carved in solid granite bedrock in Iowa, of all places. The bones, he was told, were petrified. It wasn't stated if the bones were encased in some sort of matrix in the casket. It may have been clay. Here's a pretty good chance that the man may have been buried before Noah's flood. Since granite is bedrock as opposed to sandstone or limestone, which are sedimentary, it is more probable that he was buried before sedimentary rock was laid down in the flood. Mm-hmm. Okay. From an 1875 edition of the Steam Press, Battle Creek, Michigan, from the Sauk Rapids Sentinel in Minneapolis, we read that men quarrying in granite encountered the tomb of a giant man hewn into solid rock. The skeleton was encased in sand and completely petrified. The grave was 12 feet in length, 4 feet wide, and 3 feet deep. The skull measured 31.5 inches in circumference, but low in the os frontis, the forehead, and very flat on top. The femur was 26.25, and the fibula was 25.5 inches. The man's height was 10 feet 9.5 inches tall. His weight estimated at 900 pounds. Now, let's stop there for a second, shall we? Do you think the 1875 edition of the Steam Press and the men that found this, they're just lying about it? Like, they just... Well, I was bored one day, so I was digging around, and I encountered a tomb. And I guess I thought I would just make up the size. Why? You're just some dude out in the middle of nowhere that comes across, you're quarrying in granite. You're just doing your job. That's all you're doing. Right? And all of a sudden, you dig up this tomb and you open it. And it's a stinking 11-foot body there. Skeleton, sorry. And you're like, whoa. What is that doing there? And why is it so big? Right? Mm-hmm. You think he's lying? You think they're lying? Like, why? Why would they? How about a Montana coal mine? I mean, I believe them. I don't see why they'd lie. If it was somebody making a fortune, like selling tickets, making money, writing books, these are just ham and egger, everyday dudes going to do their job, going to work, mining in a quarry, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that's what they find. Right? Out of nowhere, that's what they find. Montana coal mine. In 1926 at Bear Creek, Montana, two human molars said to be three times the normal size were found in a coal mine dated by evolutionists at 30 million years. These were no doubt from a man who lived at the time of the Noahic flood. These teeth are not large enough for even juvenile mastodon. Moreover, I doubt that the coal is later than the dinosaurs. So if it is as old as the other coal in Montana, a mastodon buried in coal there would mean it lived alongside dinosaurs. But maybe they were just from a giant man. Montana limestone. This photograph sent to me by Giants researcher John Adolfi appears to be the sandal print of a giant man. It's about 4 feet long. Maybe the track of a large sauropod. But what kind makes a print like this? Hey, you want to see the picture? I'll show it to you. Hillbilly version. See? There's the print. Now, could it be an animal? Could it be a giant? I don't know. But it's big, whatever it is. It's really, really big. Like Donald Trump size eagle big. That big. Very big. Ready for some more? Should I give you some more? Why not? I got a whole book of them. In Nevada, USA, the leg bone of a human 12 feet tall was found in red quartzite rock, considered to be 185 million years old. It was discovered in July of 1877 by four prospectors who found a human leg bone and kneecap in the rock. It was dug out and taken to Eureka, Nevada, and put on display. The bones were almost black and carbonized. Several medical doctors examined the partial femur, which was still attached to its knee, lower leg, and complete foot. From knee to foot, the leg measured 39 inches and would have belonged to a man that was 12 to 14 feet tall. Okay. Ye- 12 inches in a foot, right? Joy, you're asking me to show more visuals and I can't. First of all, I don't have all those pictures in here. Second of all, I don't have the software capabilities yet. We're putting together a huge system for me to be able to do that, the software, everything I need. So you just got to hang on and wait for that to come, okay? I can't do anything about it right now, but I'm working on it. We'll get it down. You know, right. So over three feet long is what the leg measures. Think about that. To a man 12 to 14 feet tall, several stories were run by local papers and museums sent investigators to look at it. No other bones were reportedly found. Here's another one. In 1882, convicts working at a quarry at the state prison near Carson City, Nevada, uncovered a large layer of sandstone covered with fossil animal tracks. Those of the supposed extinct mammoth being the largest, but even more impressive was a series of giant man tracks 19 to 20 inches long. A geologist named Joseph LeConte reported to the California Academy of Science they were probably the prints of a giant sloth. He was quickly contradicted by others stating that the giant sloth uses his huge tail for support when walking on two hind feet. Sloth feet don't look human anyway, and they leave claw marks. In 1980, I saw a large latex mold of some of these tracks at the George C. Page Museum of La Brea Tar Pits, probably made in the late 1970s. Just having gotten involved in paleontology, I didn't realize their significance, nor did I have a camera handy. The fact that these tracks were in sandstone makes me think they must be pre-flood. You know, I'm going to report this, man. That's perverted. Disgusting. Giant, like, who would come on here and it's weird? It's just weird. Okay. In Oklahoma, a man who found an Acrocanthosaurus, whatever that is, in Oklahoma, said he knew where there was a trail of giant men tracks with dinosaur tracks. I cannot verify this or say it is false. There was no reason to doubt the man, but evolutionists would have to deny the claim because they insist that men and dinosaurs never coexisted 80 million years ago. So, here's the thing. Evolutionists will ignore evidence that is in front of them. And the reason they ignore the evidence that's in front of them is because it contradicts their theory. But evidence should destroy your theory. Let's see. Oregon giant men found in coal. This is just a report told to me by Mr. Don Pancoast of Salem, Oregon, but I had no reason to doubt his veracity. Supposedly in 1962, when the United States government was drilling the hole for a Minuteman missile silo south of Brunea, Idaho, near Boise, Idaho, at 100 to 200 feet down, they bored into a layer of coal. In the coal, they saw a dinosaur or mastodon bones and the skeletons of giant men. The workers were told to keep working and leave them alone. Don said some of the bones were probably taken, but where, he didn't know. These would probably have to be in the coal seam that was given an age of at least 65 million years. And see, that's why they don't want this to come out. That's why they don't want this to come out. Because it destroys their theory of evolution. By the way, I talked about this before, but other things that are found in the coal, a copper bell, and a few other things that were found there. Of course, dinosaurs and giants live together. Absolutely. Rockwall, Texas. The story of Rockwall, Texas, east of Dallas, is so fantastic that it deserves its own book. And there really are three stories here. All are told by the editor. One regarding a giant, Sam Slick. One regarding a giant skull, the second about giant rooms and giant metal artifacts and terrifying huge giant bird. The third is alleged wall. You ready? You want to hear about these three in Rockwall, Texas, of all places. Texas. Well, you're going to have to wait because I'm going to wait a second. Is the stream messing up on you guys? Is anybody else having a problem with the stream? Check it out here. Let's see. I wonder why. Huh. Dinosaurs were called dragons, and they absolutely did exist. I wonder why the image is blurry. I wonder what's going on. No problems by Cindy. Dinosaurs are dragons. That's absolutely what they are. Okay, but for a minute, I don't know why the image is blurry or if there's something going on with my internet here. I don't know. Oops. Let's see here. I don't see anything else on there the signal looks fine. I'll take a break here for a second from this, and then we'll get back into our Giants study here. But I want to talk to you about a pastor also that is up in Minneapolis here. This pastor, one of the things that he just got censured by the church organization that he was connected to. And the reason he was censured is because he was pushing homosexuality. He was pushing the sodomite marriage. He was pushing that lifestyle. And they actually censored the man. They actually took him off of there and censured him, and they kicked him out of the organization, which they should have. But he kept the church, the church kept its building, and they kept him as pastor. And he was celebrating that. He's celebrating his sodomite support. You know, it's really sad that we've come to a place like that in America today where that's accepted and churches are going for it. But it's just, yeah, they should have kicked him out, but the church supported him, Mike. It's right down there in downtown Minneapolis. And they actually supported him. The church was upset with the congregate with the organization that, you know, was connected. Mm-hmm. But they got rid of him. Or they kicked him out of the organization, the, you know, First Covenant. Old Lutheran church. Old. I mean, goes all the way back 150 years. Was one of the founding churches in that group. Yeah. You know, it's really sad. But anyway, that's the place we live in today. That's where it's going. Churches are turning. And they are going to support the most wicked, vile things in the world. And they are going to reject the truth of the gospel. And they are going to reject the changed life. They are going to reject the work of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, but it's sad, but it's the way it is. So all we can do is pray. All we can do is seek God's face. And all we can do is call out the compromisers. That's what we can do. That man needs to be called out. He needs to be called out as a compromiser, and that church needs to be called out as compromisers. They betrayed the Lord. Reverend Dan Collison is his name. And he betrayed the Lord. He's a betrayer. Anyway, are we ready to keep going now? We ready to get into some more about giants here and find out some more about that? I'm going to turn my fan on, man. It is hot in here. It's humid. All right. Let's get into it here. How about, let's see, did I do this one already? I think I did, maybe. Here we go. Rockwell, Texas. Rockwell, Texas. The giant skull was alleged to be a human. Okay, the story of Rockwell, Texas. The giant skull was alleged to be a human skull about 20 or more inches across and was displayed by a Mr. J.B. Burton, May 28th of 1886. About June 4th, 1886, at the giant skull site, a group of men digging there, hitting flat slate rock a Mr. Greer pounded the rock with a large hammer, breaking into a room about 40 feet tall and striking a metal object when the hammer fell from his hand and through the hole in the slate. With a rope, they descended into the giant room 40 feet tall, supported by polished black marble columns, where there was a metal bed 25 feet long and sandals 20 inches across with a battle axe 12 feet long. A battle axe 12 feet long. Who in the world wielded a 12-foot-long battle axe? Woo, that would be scary. There was also a large chest too heavy to move. A few days later, on June 8th, 1886, they pried open a metal door in the alleged wall, entering into another vast room containing a metal pot that could hold 1,000 gallons that was full of crumbly, normal-sized human skulls and bones. When they entered, a noise was heard of a door slamming. Seeing an iron trap door, they pried it open, only to be scared to death by a giant black bird that flew screaming into the walls, being blinded by their lanterns. The men were so terrified that when they got out, three of them fainted. Look, dude, I don't care how tough you are. You'd faint too, man. I would. I'll be honest with you. I'd probably pee my pants. The giant skull disappeared. A local reporter blamed the Smithsonian and the then to now prevailing doctrine of ancient Americans' migration and evolution theory. The report said that the roof of the room was supported by polished pillars of black marble. The marble makes me think it may be a post-flood building. Fossil snakes have been found in marble, thus indicating that it was a product of the flood of Noah. Regarding the rock wall, the area of Rockwall, Tennessee, gets its name for the rock wall, which is about 40 feet tall, that encloses an area some 30 square miles and covered in as much sediment. The town being built over the sediment that covers the wall, several stone rooms were said to have been uncovered and then filled in when the courthouse was being built. A stone tunnel was found that went down to the river, as well as another stone room that a road grader fell into. This much sediment seems to indicate the walls and rooms existed prior to Noah's flood. In August of 2011, fellow fossil diggers Aaron Judkins and son Tannen, Jordan Hall, and Whitney Ewell went with me to Rockwall. Some good contacts were made. We saw a part of the wall that had been reconstructed at the courthouse in the 70s, and the typical 70s mentality, it was arranged to suit someone's personal taste, but the stones were not restored to their original position. Some of the stones were about 10 inches square and 4 feet long. The edges seemed to have been shaved off. It's hard to see how they could have occurred naturally. This was done in the 70s or by ancient people. Or is it that some people think just a natural formation? Old photos of the wall look to me like a natural formation that has been expanded and exploded by pressure, allowing hard layers to be broken and the cracks filled with mud being pushed in from both sides. If the layers of stones are made man-made and come from somewhere else, the builders had to put all the layers all back exactly as they were found, because one can see breaks in the rocks, but they are still in the same positions as before being separated. The layers also pinch out, forming cigar shapes from 10 inches to 1 inch thick. It looks man-made, but honestly, it looks natural too. It's really hard. But to say no evidence of giants at Rockwall, Texas, is to make a lie out of the three stories from 1886 carried by the local paper. The Rockwall success, and there are those who say the whole thing was made up. It's quite an elaborate story to try to make up, ain't it? It's a very elaborate story to try to make up. Wow. Boy, that's something to think about, isn't it? That is something to think about. You open it up and here's this big old room and you go down inside of it. Huge giant skeletons down there. And then you find a pot full of bones. Glen Rose, Texas. Numerous human-like footprints have been found of men over 9 feet tall. I have personally excavated one human-like track, says Joe Taylor, and molded several more from the McFall site as well as others. Personally, I don't see how they could be anything but human tracks of men living with dinosaurs. They are in Lower Cretaceous limestone, said by evolutionists to be 80 million years old. Creationists believe them to have been made at the time of the flood 4,500 years ago. Roland T. Byrd excavated the famous trackway of an Acrocanthosaurus, walking beside a brontosaurus, a giant sauropod, which has been on display since the late 1930s in the American Museum of Natural History. What everyone knew at the time was that there was a trail of human footprints alongside the dinosaur prints. Why weren't they excavated as well and used to tell the world that, sure enough, the Bible is true? I'll not insult the reader with the obvious. Byrd says it's best, in May of 1939 issue of Natural History, No man ever existed in the age of reptiles, although the tracks are perfect in every detail. So the tracks are there, but because the evidence defies their theory, they're not going to tell you about those giant human tracks. Well, not human. Giant tracks. Let's put it that way. I don't think they're human, but there's something. Many people have worked on the human tracks in Glen Rose, such as Bull Adams and another locals. Dr. Cecil Doherty wrote a book, The Valley of the Giants, with numerous photos of tracks, some of the giants. Stan Taylor uncovered and made the film in the early 1970s about the Taylor Trail and other tracks. Dr. Carl Baugh has been excavating tracks almost every year on the Paluxy River since 1984. He has suffered constant attacks from evolutionists as well as creationists. But if one looks at the book, the film, and the many tracks, it'll be hard to say that none of them are real. And every one of the dozen is real. Well, there goes evolution down the Paluxy River. I like that. So you can find that book, Valley of the Giants. Okay, let's see what else we have here. I mean, there's a lot, but let me see. Here we go. A primitive Baptist friend, Elder Sonny Piles, told me a story of miners somewhere in one of the coal states who told them of a woman spread eagle on the ceiling of a coal mine. All the miners know about it, they said, and went on to tell Brother Piles that it was obvious when she was buried there during Noah's flood. Another similar story was discovered by Giants researcher Jonathan Gray. West Virginia miners broke through a coal seam into an air pocket, creating a room. On the floor, the walls, and the ceiling, they were astonished to see bodies of giant men in the coal. No sooner had the men reported the find that the mine was off limits, closed, and flooded with mud and a reservoir built over it. Why are the authorities so afraid of giant man remains becoming public? It's because of David and Goliath. If giants are true, Goliath is true, the Bible is true, and the need for a savior is true. It's a battle against God. It certainly is. No, the Nephilim were the sons of God. They were the fallen. The giants were their offspring. Somebody asked me that question. Let's see. Let me give you more. A lot of footprints found. Near Mulgoa, south of Penrith, NSW, a set of three giant footprints were discovered in volcanic lava and ash flows. The prints were 2 feet long and 7 inches wide at the toes. That's a big pair of Jordans to wear. No, Andre the Giant is not the same kind of a giant. That's not. Andre was a tall man. And those men had defects. Those giants. What about mutations? We're not talking about giant, or we're not talking about tall people that have defects in their DNA or have gigantism or anything like that, and they die young and they're sickly. No. We're talking about a race of giants. A race of giants that were 1,000 pounds or more, that were 13 to 21 feet tall, and that were a mixture of the sons of God and the daughters of men. Different. Yes, all giants were evil. The Bible, every time the Bible talks about giants, they're always fighting the people of God. They are always against the people of God. There is no such thing as a friendly giant in the Bible. They were all against the people of God, all of them. We're not talking about people with defects or gigantism or anything like that. We're not talking about any of those people. This is a different race. It is a mixture. It is a hybrid. All right, Valence, Europe. in 1456. 1456. Giant bones were found, including a vast skull and some immense teeth inside a river near Valence, France. The skull measured about 3 feet wide. 3 feet wide. One shoulder blade was allegedly 9 feet across. One expert on giants determined it had been a giant man some 23 feet tall. Holy buckets. I question the 9-foot scapula, he says. It would have been 1/3 of the man's height. A really big mammoth has a skull about 3 feet wide and only has a scapula about 3 feet long. Perhaps they found a dinosaur. They are found in France, but a really big sauropod only has a scapula of about 5 feet long. So while the report seems fantastic, it is doubtful that they found an animal skeleton and mistook it for a giant man's. No, there is no giant that repented. There is no giant in the Bible. They all were eradicated. They never repented. There is no giant that did right. They couldn't. They were inherently evil. They were evil. From their conception, they were evil. All right, so here's one that really gets out there into Spookyville and big. Right? You ready? The Cimmerian Bosporus giant, 36 feet tall. During an earthquake in the Cimmerian Bosporus, year is not known. A hill, or possibly a burial mound, split open, revealing enormous bones that, when assembled as a human skeleton, were 36 feet tall. Wow. Howorth tended to believe many giant men were only mammoth skeletons. The longest mammoth femur I know of was found by Johnny Redding and Wayne Parker in Garza, Colorado. Or Garza, Texas, excuse me, probably in the 60s and 70s. It was 6 feet long. This is how long a 36-foot-tall man's femur would be. While a mammoth skull looks human, if the tusks were there, would it be mistaken for a man? Probably not. Now, Carthaginian giant, 36 feet tall. I don't know about that number, but that's the one they're using. According to Eumachus in his Paragesis, the Carthaginians were digging a ditch around their territory for protection when they uncovered two enormous skeletons, one 36 feet long and a second 34 feet long, about 100 years before Christ. That's from the book From the Mammoth and the Flood by Henry H. Howorth, 1883. Seven. There were no good giants. They were all eradicated. When they were found, they were killed. God said to wipe them out. Let's see. Nemea, a giant. Philostratus, in his work, Heroics, said the Lacedaemonians found the dead body of Orestes in Nemea. It was 7.5 cubits, 10.5 feet long. This is really too small for an elephant, even a horse. While it might stretch that long, would have hooves and a head that the ancient would no doubt have recognized. It's just reporting that things they found. How about a giant found near Nero's reign? Man, I don't know if that could be the right size, but boys, that's a big one. Some of these are just too humongous to even believe. I don't even want to read them to you, some of them. Let's see. How about giants in a golden airship? Ready to hear about that? That should be interesting. An Amazonian prince of the Akakor tribe said that the giants came in a golden airship. They were white with black beards and had six fingers and six toes. They were said to have flung lightning and melted stone and built large stone cities, which were destroyed by a massive flood. Sounds like a story about the pre-flood fallen angels and the giants. The ancients' depiction of the giant Nimrod may be seem to be to us today. May seem strange to us today, but he may have invoked awe and submission by his sheer size as well as his abilities. Strange golden UFOs, six fingers, six toes, men 15 feet tall with headdresses 5 or 6 feet tall are strange. But if you research giants, it's all strange. Okay, so let me ask you a question here. Let's stop for a second and talk about this one. These guys talk about Nimrod. Nimrod was called a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, many men believe that that was a hunter of men. But his name is the same. It means he was a mighty one. That name means Gabor. It means giant. So there are some that believe that Nimrod was possibly a giant after the flood. And that's why he built the kingdom that he did. That's why there was an awe with him. And he was the head of the mysteries. Babylon, the ziggurat, the Tower of Babel, all those things. So I think there's a good indication that he was a gibor, that he was a giant, that Nimrod was. He was also the head of the mysteries, full of witchcraft and all sorts of things like that. Now, we don't find a lot of that in the Bible. We just know that he had four kingdoms, four major kingdoms, Babylon being the most dangerous. And when you start to study Nimrod and Babylon, and I have a series on it, you can go way back in the Wayback Machine, all right? And you can listen to them. But when you start to study Nimrod a little bit, one thing that you find out about Nimrod, one thing that you find out about him is that, or Babylon, it actually, that word Babel, it has to do with a spirit tower, like a spirit tower. There's a spiritual, a stargate, sort of, a spiritual gate that is connected with that. And that was like, they worshiped the stars, okay? And Nimrod built that tower for that reason. It wasn't just to bring them all together, but it was a spiritual way to bring them together. Give me a second. Let me think of his name. Not Josephus. Herodotus, H-E-R-O-D-O-T-U-S, the historian, Herodotus. He visited the area where the Tower of Babel was. And he said that during that time period, you could see the worship of the stars in the area. You could see the kind of the hieroglyphics of all that and everything else. Like that, right? So, I'd have to go back and think of what was there, but that's what they worshiped. That was a stargate for spirits, and Nimrod was the head of the mysteries there, and I believe he was a giant, and I believe he had a lot to do with all of that. So when it says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, could you imagine if you were 9 foot tall, 10 foot tall, and you were able to fight lions and, I mean, big, huge beasts, and you could kill them with your bare hands because you were huge. Right? So, anyway. All right, are you ready for an interesting one here? I'll give you an interesting one. South Pacific, World War II, South Pacific Island. Giants 18 to 24 feet. I will mention this case here as it might be a pre-flood burial. John Siminoff sent me this story about an incident related by his dad, who had read an article in an old periodical called Fate Magazine, in which a reader of the magazine wrote about giant human skeletons being found while excavating for an airstrip on one of the South Pacific islands in World War II. The article stated that the skeletons were 18 to 24 feet tall. When the MIT came in and wouldn't let anyone else in, he was also mystified as to why no one back in the States had heard of the find. His dad couldn't recall which island this was on. But since giant skeletons were found in the limestone caves on other of these islands, I'm inclined to believe they were post-flood burials. That is assuming the limestone was a product of Noah's flood. Another version of the story possibly is this. Then there is this story. It is the same as told by Smirnoff's dad? Maybe. During World War II, a writer named Ivan T. Sanderson reported that his crew were bulldozing through sedimentary rock on one of these islands when they came upon what appeared to be a graveyard of giant men. The crania measured from 22 to 24 inches from the base of the skull to the top. That being some three times larger than normal humans, the men would have stood from 18 to 24 feet tall. I doubt that there were elephants, as that would be a very small elephant skull. And the fact that they were under sedimentary rock almost certainly places them in the flood of Noah. My late uncle, Bryce Allen, was a captain in the Corps of Engineers in World War II. He didn't tell of any giants being found, but since they were often strafed by Japanese planes, time was of the essence. If anything were found, it might have been destroyed just to get the job done and get out. Captain Allen and his crew were in charge of putting in landing strips for American planes. So anyway, he goes on to tell about the story of that and what they found. Well, there's a lot more. I got some time. I've got 30 minutes. I think I'll keep going. I've got more to come even after today. I've got some other things. I'm going to finish going through a lot of this stuff. I'm going to cross-reference some things about Indians because I want to talk to you about Indians. And talk about the Smithsonian. We'll talk about a bunch of things. So I hope you're learning some things. Are you learning some things here? All right, I hope so. Let's see here. Here we go. Australia, Bathurst. Near Bathurst, New South Wales, huge stone tools, hand axes, chisels, pounders, clubs, adzes, and knives were found in the old river gravels of that era. They weighed from 8 to 25 pounds each and were scattered over a large area. It was estimated that the men would have to be over 10 feet tall to be able to use them. Admittedly, the tools shown in the photograph here looks more like a natural rock than a man-made tool. However, men have been known to use natural stones as tools. So 25-pound hammer. Right? You got a 25-pound hammer. You need some strength to wield that. You ain't going to, you know, we use 5-pound, less than 5 pounds, right? A couple pounds. Right? Whole races of Americans 7 to 9 feet tall. Now, I'm not going to get into the Indians today because I'm going to save that, but Luke just gave you a little bit of a hint. The Indians in America weren't always here, or weren't the first people here like they try to claim, and they're hiding the first people that were here, I think. But that's another story for another day. As a kid growing up in the 1950s, Joe Taylor says, it was well accepted that everything in Texas was bigger, better, and taller than anywhere else. Larry Hartzell was proof of this, and so was Choy Smith. Living on a farm, we all rode the bus together from Mount Blanco community. Moreover, Larry's dad, Blayton, was taller yet, offering more proof. Even our grandpa Taylor was way over 6 feet. But if Larry's son, Brandon, who was yet in the future, had been there, no one would have convinced us boys that the rumor was not true. Brandon reached a height of over 7 feet just out of high school. However, but in the dusty records kept by early European settlers in America, there were numerous accounts of graves of men towering 7 to 9 feet tall. And according to early reports by Native Americans, there were whole races of the tall men. Amazingly enough, some of their mummies have been found. We know that some had long red hair, others had long black hair down to their waist. Who are they? Perhaps the Watusi were here before the American Indian as we know them. The fact that the American school student is completely ignorant of these fascinating records as the indictment on the bias of American aesthetic archaeology, the academic prejudice of so-called scholars to insist that we believe in evolution of modern man from a little ape to people only 6 feet tall has been entrenched, that any contradictory evidence has been ignored or suppressed. Our National Museum, the Smithsonian, has the worst reputation of any for doing this. For atheists to admit to very tall ancient races of people is to give credence to the biblical record of ancient giants. See, some of these were Nephilim, or some of these were the fallen angel, or no. Some of these were giants of a mixed hybrid race. But I actually believe also some of these people that they find 7 to 8 feet tall was probably the size of ancient man. So there's a difference in like a 10 to 15 foot tall, 21 foot tall giant and a man that was 7, 8 feet tall. Pre-flood world. And maybe right post-flood, right afterwards. So not all were giants in that sense, right? There's a difference. About 400 BC, according to Theopompus, a prisoner named Selenius, told King Midas of Phrygia about a huge landmass which could have been North and South America. Selenius reported the large animals were found there, as well as men twice as tall as normal. Cherox, 1969, page 101. We talked about the Aleutian Islands and the very large skull that was found there. Talked about Arizona's Grand Canyon. I'm not going to tell you about the large animals yet, okay? We'll save that. That'll be enough. How about this one? Arizona's Grand Canyon, is this a Noah's flood burial or afterward? Sometime in the 1800s, a man named Samuel Hubbard, we just talked about him, we're going to talk about him again, found over 50 complete skeletons of giants 10 feet to 14 feet tall. In a cave in Grand Canyon in Arizona. Their subsequent disappearance is typical of the remains of giant humans. He found two others and photographed one of them. They were 15 to 18 feet tall. They are both petrified by lime and were in a sandstone rock. Because this is a cave in the Grand Canyon, I'm inclined to think it is post-flood burial. Let's see how much time we have. I think I'm going to talk to you about Samuel Hubbard, maybe. Let's see. I think I'll talk about Samuel Hubbard, maybe. Let's see here. The Hubbard Discovery. I think I'll spend the rest of the time talking about that. Now, Samuel Hubbard was born in San Francisco in May 1863, the son of Sam Hubbard and Sophie Hunt. In his teen years, Samuel Jr. spent his time hunting rails and other game, as well as writing articles on the local flora and fauna for such publications as the Biological Journal. In 1896, at the age of 33, he traveled to the Grand Canyon, where he made a series of incredible discoveries which should have turned post-Darwinist science on its head, if anyone would have believed him. It would be another 30 years before he would have an opportunity to silence his critics and belittlers and provide scientific proof that his fantastic story was true, that man and dinosaur had coexisted. There was proof in two forms that the giant humans had lived in the canyon, including petrified human giant, that elephants and ibexes had both lived in North America in contravention of the scientific knowledge of the day, that scientific proof would come in 1924 in the form of the Doheny expedition, which he was in charge of. So, Samuel Hubbard was in charge of the Doheny experiment. He went inside of these caves led by Indian guides, and he went inside the Grand Canyon. He went inside these places, okay? And after he did that, after he went inside there, what he found in there was amazing. And he wrote a report on it. Everybody made fun of him. Everybody laughed at him, but people couldn't dispute what he had found. Right? So let's look at what he found. The story, however, is mostly about his initial trip to the Grand Canyon. Charles W. Gilmore was only 22 and just beginning his scientific career when Hubbard wrote about his amazing discoveries in 1896. By the time he joined the expedition, the Doheny expedition, 30 years later in 1924, he was a mainstream scientist as one could be. So Edward Doheny was 40 years old when Hubbard made his first trip to the Grand Canyon. Doheny was an American oil tycoon who had $100 million. On just one group of oil leases at one point in his career. So he had plenty of money to spend on the scientific expedition to the Grand Canyon to prove that Darwinism was wrong and that Samuel Hubbard was right. After all, he probably reasoned that God had been pretty good to him. I would say so. Does anybody believe that there has been a race of gigantic men? Hubbard began recounting a tale with the following provocative intro. Does anyone believe that there is a gigantic or 20 feet who ever lived in the United States of America, and yet the proof that such a race of people did live in this country is to be found in the Grand Canyon of the Colorado River in northern Arizona? The proof consists of, first, footprints in red sandstone, footprints that appear to have been made by a moccasined feet of gigantic men whose tracks measured 20 inches in length and who stepped 5 feet at a stride. 5 feet strides. That's a big dude, right? It's a big dude. 5 feet strides. Wow. The second proof is that there is a petrified body of such a man, likewise in the red sandstone of the Grand Canyon District. This body was that of a living, breathing man, but after death, the flesh was replaced by lime or silica, held in solution in the water. There is ample evidence that the nature was able to perform this feat as the petrifying process is being carried on in the canyon to this day. The third fact is that there is and was a strong, almost universal tradition among the ancient people of Mexico and Peru that such a race of giants lived in their country. Perhaps it is almost too much to call this proof, but it is at least corroborative testimony. Now, why is that important? Because he's saying it corroborates his story. These people didn't know each other. Are you catching this? These people didn't know each other. They were all over the place, everywhere in the world. And here comes this Inca tribe and says, well, yeah, there's this big, huge race of giants long, long time ago. And they were there. Then this guy over in the Grand Canyon, he's popping in and out of there. He sees these Indians. He says, whoa. There's a big dude there. Right? Let me get back to my article. Since Hubbard's time, the Carboniferous is thought by science to have been even further back in the past than it was in 1896, the Carboniferous period. Now understand, this guy believes different than we do. He believes in long geological ages and all that kind of stuff. I'm a literalist. Six-day creation literalist, okay? So I believe the Bible. I believe what God said in his word. So me and this guy wouldn't agree about that. But my point is, here's this man that did this experiment. He found this huge dude. Right? Try to stay focused, children, on what we're talking about here and not about British royalty and their blood type. In this article, Hubbard goes on to give a detailed explanation of a rock strata and the age associated with them. He explains that neither giant humans nor animals whose footprints dot the ancient beach should have been around at the time of the Redstone's formation. He stated the science was going to have to work hard to explain the prints under the current paradigm, or else geology is all wrong. What's he saying? He's saying their numbers are wrong. He's saying, I have the proof right here, and they're all wrong. That this man went out there. This man went out there, investigated this, found these things that defy evolution as it has been taught. Right? He's not a Christian apologist. He's a scientist. All right. So he found the footprints. I'm going to skip down to the giants. They visit the giant. The following day, Hubbard, Hole, and their Indian guide set out to find the petrified giant. Discovered that the giant that Hole had seen 3 years ago had completely been covered over in a landslide. Discouraged and disappointed, they returned to camp. The following morning, they began the journey back home when their Indian guide finally understood what they had been looking for. Kuoda Parvich, he said, which literally means Indian dead long time ago. He pointed to an elevated location indicating that the Kuoda Parvich he knew about was in that direction. In other words, this was the second petrified body and not the same one that Hole had seen earlier. After some time, they arrived where he had pointed. We looked where we had pointed. Where he had pointed, and there, sure enough, was unmistakably the body of a human being turned into stone. Both legs were gone, just above the knee, that there were the great thighs, the hips, and beyond these, the crease in the back, and just a glimpse of the back black head. The body was about 100 feet from where we stood and just beyond the perpendicular wall of red sandstone. It laid with the head and shoulders uphill. It was a matter of some difficulty to actually reach the body, involving climbing one of the wildest canyons in the Grand Canyon and scrambling along a narrow ledge. The location for viewing the body was very dangerous, but up close, he noted, there was a gutter of a ravine in the rock through which the water was running. The body was in the midst of that stream, which Hubbard assumed is how the body became petrified. It was completely black in color. I lowered a tape line down the back to the end of the spine. The length from that point to the top of the head was just 6.5 feet, implying a length of 13 feet for the whole body. In some places on the body, he noted that veins and blood vessels were visible. We made 5 exposures with the Kodak, but from very difficult positions. Judging from the size of the hips, the general smoothness of the outline, and general lack of bulging muscles, also the delicacy of the forearm, we both concluded that this was the figure of a woman. After this, Hubbard spent some time in an article educating his readers about the multiplicity of myths and legends concerning giants who lived in both North and South America in ages past. For example, the Olmecs claimed to have been enslaved for some time by the Quanonims, or giants. Perhaps those myths and legends had some truth to them. Perhaps they'd only encountered the remnants of the giants, such as their stone footprints and their petrified bodies. Upon his return, Samuel Hubbard Jr. published an article in the Los Angeles Times on October 2nd, 1896. It was printed on page 5 and synopsized here. Samuel Hubbard did not become famous or create a scientific sensation, at least not outside of Oakland, California. His Grand Canyon discoveries were not accepted by scientific journals of his day. He was the recipient of a great deal of ridicule and worked 30 years to find someone to finance a scientific expedition to validate his discoveries. He continued to write articles for local bird journals, and between his trip to the canyon in 1886, I believe that is, in the Doheny Scientific Expedition in 1924, he was named the curator of the Oakland Museum. Financed by Edward Doheny, Charles Gilmore, the established scientist, accompanied Hubbard back to the Grand Canyon in 1924 in what was known as the Doheny Expedition. He verified all of Hubbard's discoveries, even made a number of the important additional discoveries. He saw the giant footprints and the mammal footprints in sandstone. He measured and photographed them and confirmed the rock strata. His explanation? Unexplained. Gilmore also saw the giant petrified woman. His explanation? A freak of nature. Gilmore told the scientific world afterward, these discoveries pushed the evolution of a man back at least 10 million years. That is because one of the foremost dinosaur experts in the world became convinced that man and dinosaur had coexisted. In this time, dinosaurs were thought to have gone extinct 10 million years ago. Today, it is thought to have been around 40 million years ago. The Doheny Exposition in a magazine of the day. Theosophy even wrote about it. And they were in no agreement with Hubbard. And Hubbard was not a theosophist. They had no agreement, but Theosophy, that magazine, wrote about it in 1924 and said Hubbard's discovery of two human beings about 18 to 15 feet in height, respectively, petrified bodies buried under a rock would be several days. So there was discrepancy on the sizes of each being and things like that, but not the fact that he found them. His discovery was made in 1896 and further elaborated in 2 subsequent expeditions. Throughout that time, his reception has been the same. No scientist of repute has dared even to investigate it personally. And they didn't want to. Why? Because it disproves evolution. So a Theosophist magazine just wrote about it and said, hey, this scientist found this. You know, not for the same reason that scientist wrote about it, but sometimes our enemies write about us, write about different things and find out more information, give more information. That's how you study history. You find it in different places where they document historical facts in different places and eyewitness accounts, right? Anyway, we're going to stop right there for today. And I'm going to put my marker right there. Right there. All right. And all right. So that's a lot of information to give you. And there's much more, much, much more. So lots of good stuff. What's the title of that book? Is Giants Against Evolution by Joe Taylor. So there's some other ones that I want to get a hold of. I've even started talking about the Indians and the mounds and all those other things. But you keep praying for us. This week's a busy week. Obviously, it's the 4th of July this week. I will do a broadcast on Friday, 11 a.m. Central Time to 1 p.m. Central Time. I will do one Thursday, 2 p.m. Central Time to 4 p.m. Central Time. Please pray for us as we continue to get our equipment and everything working here and all that good stuff. By the way, thank you to those that listen to us, and some of you, thank you to all of you who listen to us. I'm glad we can be a blessing to you. Thank you for the donations that were sent. Some folks sent some donations last week while I was gone to give to the ministry. I appreciate that. That's a blessing. Thank you. I don't take that lightly. I'm grateful for that. And praise the Lord for you know, the Lord leading you to give to our ministry and to be a blessing to us as we put in the hours to study, to read, to pray, to help you, and to continue to feed those people that are out there. I'm very grateful for all of you that listen and pray for us, and those of you that also have been a blessing to us to give to our ministry and things like that. Thank you so much. My email address is pastorcooley@icloud.com. If YouTube kicks us off, we have a database there. Please send me your email address so I can have your email address in that database, because we are putting our website, opbconline.org, opbconline.org. That'll take you to our email address, same as oldpastbaptistchurch.org, but it's shorter, opbconline.org. We bought the rights to that one. So opbconline.org, if you go there, you can subscribe also. But anyway, thank you for that, because we're working to get everything done and try to make this broadcast. I intend to make this permanent by the grace of God, to continue to build on this platform and continue to feed folks out there the truth and try to be a blessing to you all out there. So I'm very, by the way, thank you. Thank you for those that sent checks and PayPal and all that kind of stuff. A blessing for sure that we don't take lightly. I'm very grateful for that. And I'm grateful for you listening and your prayers. Thank you for praying for us. I am so blessed by that. I intend to do this permanently 3 times a week, 2 hours at a time. And I'm very, very grateful for you listening. And I'm glad we can be a blessing. Please share these broadcasts on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And we'll try to get those out there. We do upload these to Sermon Audio and put this on there for the folks. Sermon Audio, there are a lot of audio and God-fearing people on Sermon Audio that listen to us. And we're very grateful for all of them and their prayers and everything like that. So praise the Lord for that. And is there anybody else that has any questions before I get off here? I've got about 4 minutes. I didn't see any questions, but I wasn't looking the whole time. I was reading and studying and all that good stuff. Anybody have any questions at all before we take off? Maybe questions about what we talked about, anything like that? See if we got any. People are trailing off here. There's 69 left, 102 likes. Praise the Lord. That's good. 102 thumbs up, that is. Good broadcast today. I was excited to do it. I'm excited to continue with this series on Giants. I want to talk to you about a lot of fun stuff with it. This is a fun topic for me. I enjoy it. I appreciate the prayers, Brother Brandon. Thank you so much. Can you cover more of the pre-flood relics found in coal? Yes. But if you go Shalom Shalom, if you go to our video, pre-flood world, if you go to that video, you can see all of those artifacts in a PowerPoint that we did. Luke put together that video for me. I did a PowerPoint on the pre-flood world. You know, we did a video on the pre-flood world, and you can watch it, and all those artifacts are there. Okay? I won't have time to do that in this study, but they are all there. What is the name of the other one you were talking about earlier about the giants? Name of the other book? Stephen Quayle's book, but I don't recommend it. I wouldn't waste the money on it, to be honest with you. Piper's fun, all is well. God is so good to me, better than I deserve. Thank you, Authorized Mike. Praise the Lord. I am glad that you are on here, my friend. I am glad you are on here, and my favorite video still is Strong Spiritual Warfare. Still my favorite video. Let's see here. Do you have any studies on the lost tribes of Israel? They're not lost. That's my study. They're not lost. Quayle and Skiba are both agents. Do you agree? Yes, I do. Sights and sounds of the worldwide flood. That's a good one. But the other one is the artifacts of the pre-flood world that defy evolution. That's the one. Who wins the money or the science? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh! Bob C., you are welcome to come visit. Definitely. I don't recommend his book, Quayle's. And the reason why I don't recommend it is it's filled with a bunch of weird nonsense. And all his books are weird like that. He's kooky out there, weird stuff, man. And I'm kooky. Yes, I've considered the flat earth. I've considered it false. And I've had every video known to man sent to me about it. Anyway, I know that makes you say, well, I can't listen to you because you're not flat earth. Yes, I know, because in the Bible it says, if thou dost not believe in the earth being flat, thou couldst not be listened to. Who was before the Native Americans? The giants. That's who. Did the giants build the pyramids? Would email be a good way to connect for some other questions I have? Pierce Kimmerly, yes. PastorKhalidiCloud.com. Email me there. I can't promise you I will answer it. I won't let the issue divide as long as you don't let the issue divide. I don't let that issue of flat earth divide me from anybody. But they go on and on, and that's all they ever talk about is the flat earth. But hopefully you can believe it if you want to, but not like let it drive you crazy. And the giants were huge. People were not always 6 foot tall. We were a whole lot taller. Pre-flood. Yep, Jeremy, I believe that. That's what I'm saying. When they find these 8 foot, 7, 8 foot tall people, that they're probably just, they weren't giants, okay? I don't believe those were. I think the ones that were the giants were the ones they found that were 9 to 30 feet tall and all those. I think those, when you get into that, because Goliath was the son of a giant, and Goliath was 9.5, 10 feet tall. So you've got the giant and you've got all that other stuff. So that's, I agree. But it proves that there were huge people back then, and that we're devolving, we're getting worse. A copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy is worse than the original. Yeah, Mike, that's fine. I don't like if the flat earth comments just keep going, just put them in timeout. They bomb my threads with flat earth stuff. And if you're flat earth, I'm not your enemy. I'm telling you, I'm not mad at you, but I don't want all my videos bombed with flat earth stuff. It's totally inappropriate. No, I Lady Techno, I got that copy of a copy of a copy from Ken Ham. He said that. You know, that's what he said. Right. Well, when you're talking about DNA and you're talking about Adam was perfect, you know, I don't know how to say how tall Adam was. We don't know that for sure, but I have a feeling they were much bigger. They lived longer. So if you're going to grow for a couple hundred years, chances are you're going to be kind of big or bigger, that is. So, you know, there's a lot to, that can be said about that. But anyway. Perfection was, Adam was created perfect, you know. Yep, Jeremy, we were the knuckle draggers. That's us. Yeah. The two rows of teeth thing are interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. But if I don't get off here, I never will. I could sit here all day, but I've got work to do and a busy week and more studying to do and all kinds of stuff. A lot of stuff are being hidden by the Smithsonian that we'll talk about some other day. We definitely will. Giant artifacts that were found, giant animals that have been found. We'll talk about it all. Yep, Adam must have been, and Eve must have been one beautiful woman. She was created perfect. Think about that. I appreciate it, Carl. Thank you for your prayers. I'm very grateful. Thank you, Andrea. Very grateful. Andrea. Who knows which? Steve Quayle, Albrino, Doug Hagman. You know, I like the Hagman report for one thing. When I watched the Hagman report about when Eric Phelps was on there, which I don't agree with everything Eric Phelps says, but I do agree with him on the Jesuits, and that was a good video. That if you want to watch the best exposition on the Jesuits, I would say Eric John Phelps's recording for 3 hours on the Hagman and Hagman report is the best summarization of the Jesuit order that I've ever heard. And I've listened to it like 5 times, that one. Anyway. And the rain is coming down. I'm not leaving yet. Maybe I'll stay on here till the rain stops because I don't want to go out there yet. It is pouring down. But the Hagman and Hagman, yeah, that one, look that one up. Eric John Phelps, Hagman and Hagman report. It was like 3 years ago. I've watched that. I've listened. It's not, you have to listen, you don't watch, but I've listened to that on YouTube at least 4 to 5 times. At least, I'm sure of it. And every time I listen to it, I learn more about it. Definitely learn more about it. Man, it is just like pouring. I am not walking outside yet. I'm staying online until the rain stops. Hopefully it's soon. Joe Hagman died from heroin overdose. I don't know who is that, one of the Hagman guys? Boy, that'd be cool. Well, good. I hope you guys are learning something and everything. We had 103 likes on there today. Wow. Or thumbs up, 103. That's amazing. Praise the Lord for that. Dry in Rosemont, huh? Well, not here, man. It is pouring down out there. It is pouring. Oh, let's see. What else should I talk about here while I'm waiting? Well, there's lots I could talk about. But anyway, we're still developing our video. I want to show you the knife attack that took place. You can barely see it, but I want to show you the knife attack that took place on us when we were preaching out there. And I'll show you that. Yes, people get bewitched. Dead and Dead Country. People do get bewitched. Wow, you can actually, man, I can hear it just pouring out there. I hope it stops. I want to go for a bike ride with my son. I like getting in 10 miles at night. After I do this broadcast, I like going and getting 10 miles in. It is pouring down there. Well, who hath bewitched you? Galatians chapter 6, or in the book of Galatians, Paul talks about a bewitching, right? Says that they who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Seduced, taken, seduced from simplicity. Right? No, it doesn't mean possession. It means deceived. It means taken by deceit. Yep. So it's a little bit different. It's not possession. Let's see. Man, there is no way I'm going out there. How horrible. Let's see. Anybody else have any other questions here? I could. Let's see. Yo, Esau. Yeah, you're taken into error. You're taken away from the truth. Well, I think all the giants have two rows of teeth that they find. For the most part, that's the testimony. Luke asks, why do some of the giants have two rows of teeth? Bigger teeth. I think the longer they live, the more they grew more teeth. That's my thought. I could be wrong, but I think that's probably what it is. Probably what it is. Stephen Quayle says King Og is going to come back. Stephen Quayle is an interesting fella. Definitely an interesting fella. For sure. But I think there's some disinfo people out there. And I think they give a lot of disinformation when it comes to things, right? I think that happens a lot. So, okay, where's everybody from? Let me ask you that. Where's everybody from on here? I know Andrea is from Iowa. I know that. Where's everybody else from? Anybody else? I know Luke is from Minnesota. South Florida, New Orleans. All right. Bakersville, California, Louisville, Louisiana, Hillsboro, Arizona, Iowa. All right, God's country, Iowa. Florida, born and raised in New Jersey. Tennessee. Bovie, Minnesota. Croatia. Wisconsin, West Virginia, Austin, Texas. Are you keeping Austin weird, Freddie? Babylon. I'm from Babylon, he said. Okay. Now I got another one for you. I got another question to ask you here. I know where you're from, Cindy. I got another question to ask you here. How did you find out about our ministry? How'd you find out about us? Or what was the first video you saw? Carl Winters told you about us, Kobe? Okay. Your Sights and Sound of the Flood video. All right. Christmas in Hollywood Exposed. That's how Michael found us. Amy found us through Pastor Michael Hoggard. Ashley Shaw, Disney Deception video. Hensley says the message against Disney. Hollywood Exposed. Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Satanic Roots. Carl found us through Hollywood Satanic Roots. Okay. Jeremy says he's watched a lot. He doesn't remember. It has been a while, Cindy. It's been like 7 or 8 years probably. Demonic Faith. You found the sermon Demonic Faith. Okay. Pastor Hoggard, you found us through them. Okay. Brian and Debbie through Bethel. A certain title, but it was on repentance. Okay, good. Let's see. Sermon audio. NOLA Gospel Tracks found us there. Christmas Exposed. Andrea found us there. Came across your first video about 7 or 8 years ago. Not sure which one. Wow. Long time. Satanic Hollywood, Satanic Roots. Live preaching showed in my YouTube interest. Oh. The Disney video, Facebook, Georgia said. Okay. Wow. Okay, let me ask you this. I got another question for you. How long have you been listening to us here? How long? Joe McDonald's been listening for 6 years. Alicia, 3 years, 1 year. Hensley, 2012 or 2013, 2 months. Alan Peterson, a few months. Leah, a year for Andrea. Kobe for 2 years, 5 or 6 years. NOLA Gospel Tracks, I remember that. Under a year, not sure how long. 5 months, almost about 5 years. Michael. 2011, yeah, Luke. Let's see, about 3 years, Robert Griffin. Found out about 2 years ago. As long as you've been here. Pretty much, Cindy. Pretty much you have been, that's right. 2015 for Michael. Carl Winters, 3.5 years, about 2016. Wow. About 7 or 8 years, not sure how long. Okay. Julie, the best sermons, if you want to listen to the top things as far as like exposés, if you're looking for that type of thing, Hollywood Satanic Roots, Disney, the Magic Kingdom of the Kingdom of God, the pre-flood world, a bunch of things like that. Doctrinal sermons, just pick one. Type in my name and type in the doctrine you're looking for, and you'll find it. Subjects in the Bible, type in. By authorized Mike, since about January of this year, maybe 3 to 4 months. It's a lot of new people. 4 years, Georgia. Couple months now, and I've made a lot of changes in my walk with Christ. Well, Freddie, that's good. Praise the Lord for that. Not long enough, but thank God. All right, good. Okay. Yep, sports idolatry. Lisa Fosse, 5 years. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. Good, Pierce. That's good. Praise the Lord. Purity of the bloodline. I don't know what that is. Oh, good, Blaine. That's good. Praise the Lord. We're glad to be a blessing. Yeah, Amy, I do have a lot of teachings on the King James Bible issue. Just go back and type in King James Bible or KJV and you can go to Sermon Audio and find a bunch of them there. Yeah. Yay for the new people. Well, for most. We need two more likes, two more thumbs up to get 110 on there. Two more. If anybody just popped on real quick, give us a thumbs up so we can get it to 110. I'm supposed to be out of here, but it's raining. I don't want to go outside. Julie, I don't believe there are any Nephilim today, or there are any giants on the earth as of right now. Do I believe there's going to be some genetic testing and they're going to find some? Yeah. I disagree that they would bring back Og, King of Bashan. Well, who I do believe they could try to bring back is Nimrod, because I believe they were over there in Babylon trying to find Nimrod's tomb. I know it's kind of weird, but that's a theory. That's not Bible. That's not fact. It's a theory. Yeah, that's what happens when you leave sound doctrine. You know, one of the things that's dangerous for your wife is when you're carried away with every wind of doctrine. Get in a good church, get under good preaching, and stick with it. Noah, you're right. Scott Johnson has gone off on the deep end into some really crazy, weird stuff. I know. Yeah. I mean, that's just a theory. It's not Bible. If you told me I was wrong, I'd be like, hey, you're probably right. I probably am wrong, but it is a theory. That's it. Yeah. Mine says we have 113 thumbs up. Yeah. I think you should pray for him. What are your thoughts on new translations of the Bible? Jeremy, I think they're wrong. I think most of the translations today are based on the critical text, Westcott and Hort's critical text, and they are purposely against the King James Bible for a reason. So I stay away from them. Most of them are wicked. So let's see. Rachel, I'm really not going to do a video on the flat earth. I did one already. Actually, I did one already. Jim and I did one. You can go back and listen to it. Geocentricity is the answer to the flat earth people. If you go back and listen to that, it's on my page. That has all the answers, and that is our position that we hold to. So it is there. It's like a 2-hour long broadcast, so you can listen to it. Sunday is not Saturn day. I mean, all the days of the week are named after pagans. So is Saturday. So that doesn't mean anything. But anyway, Sunday is the first day of the week. It's the day of worship found in the New Testament. Sunday. Which you can go see my teachings on that. The Pope didn't change the day of worship. Jesus did when he rose from the dead. First day of the week. First day of the week. First day of the week. Look it up. He rose on the first day of the week. He met with them on the first day of the week. He did miracles. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Go listen to my sermons on the Sabbath. Two extensive teaching. Yes, I am geocentric. I am. Note Taker's Bible, Alan Peterson. Go get a Note Taker's Bible. Go to Half Price Books. They have brand new Note Taker's Bibles. If you have a Half Price Books near you, they have brand new Note Taker's Bibles right there. King James Note Taker's Bibles. Get one of those. Well, I believe geocentricity is what's taught. Geocentricity is what's taught. The geocentric model. But I'm not going to sit and fight over that either. It's not worth it. Got to straighten it all out. Chicago. Is that the John Robinson that's been listening for a while from Chicago? That's the same guy or not. It might be. I think he's a Facebook friend of mine. Can't remember, though. Yeah, I they do make a lot of nice Bibles. They're pricey if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, then get the half-price book one. But if you can afford it, Mike's right. Support local church publishers. They're better. So church Bible publishers are better. Have you seen I Pet Goat? No. I don't have a pet goat. I don't know what that iPet goat thing is. Everybody brings it up, but I don't have any clue what it is. Hey, looks like it stopped raining. All right, folks. I will be back here with you Wednesday, Lord willing, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Looking forward to it. We'll talk more about the Giants. It'll be good. Have a good evening.